80. The printed image is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. More information by calling them at 898-9525. Welcome to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon, and I interview nonprofits and people doing worthwhile things here in the North State. Today, I'm going to interview Nicole Bateman, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity here in Chico. And Nicole, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
One of those organizations that we all know about, but do we really know about it? You know, I know we all know that you exist, and I know there's people, I have friends that do volunteer, but I'd like to hear more about, just a little bit about Habitat for Humanity, you know, as an organization, and then what you're doing and what you've been doing.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Bobby. So we're Habitat for Humanity of Butte County. And the reason why I say of Butte County is because, you know, there's a Habitat International, but there are affiliates all across the United States that are independent nonprofit affiliates. And we actually, we just pay a monthly fee to Habitat International. We are independent nonprofits across the United States as well as internationally. And the great thing about being associated with Habitat International is there's just a ton of resources that comes from international as well as the other affiliates across the nation. So it's a great partnership that we have with all the other affiliates and with international. Locally, we actually started in 1993. So this is our 28th year now. And in that time, we've built 40 houses in Butte County. And we have most of our houses are in Chico. And we have a great relationship with the city of Chico. And we also have two houses in Oroville. And we have one house actually in Paradise that burned with a campfire. So we actually, before the fire, we had been building two houses a year. And we were pleased with that. But after the fire, that just isn't enough. We knew we needed to do a lot more. And so we, since the fire, we've been steadily increasing our capacity to build more houses. We went through a growth spurt just about a year and a half after the fire and was able to add a few more staff. And then we're currently going through another growth spurt right now. And we actually are hiring more staffing right now so that we can build more houses. So our goal is to incrementally increase our housing from 6 houses to 8 houses to 10 houses a year. And we are focusing in Paradise right now because that's where the need is right now. We're increasing our staffing and then looking at different partnerships so that we can have more of an impact in our community. So we actually have that project. We're currently working on a project right now up in Paradise on Garden View Lane. We have 3 houses up there that are actually, it's kind of a unique situation because we actually, because of Habitat International, we formed a relationship with the National Ready Mixed Concrete Association. And so we're building 3 insulated concrete form homes right now. So the reason why we looked at that option is, you know, really for the fire safety. And the National Ready Mixed Concrete Association, they actually provide a lot of the in-kind services and materials for that kind of build. So that's really why we were able to do that. To look at the ICF building. It was something that's really new to us. Most of us feel stick-built houses in this area.
Yeah.
We really wanted to venture out a little bit and see what other kind of safe kinds of houses that we can build for fire resistance. I mean, stick-built, you can definitely still do it with a stick-built as well. But because of this great partnership with the National Ready Mixed Concrete Association, we're looking at this right now too. So those are fun kind of houses because if you look at them, they're currently just are formed up right now. They look like a giant Legos. So there's these insulated forms and then they build them around and then they come with a huge boom and lay and pour the concrete in on the very top. Wow. So it's really, those walls are solid. They're solid. Anyway, so it's been a fun project. I mean, each project that we do with Habitat is unique. And this one is unique because it's the ICF houses. And these houses too are ones that Three of them are all campfire survivors. They all have long-term relationships in the community. Actually, they have generational relationships in the community. One of the families, the mom, she had the same kindergarten teacher as her son. So there is a generational longevity in those, in that area. And two of the families are single moms that happen to have two little boys that are probably 12 years old now. And the other family is a mom and a son living together. And the mom is deaf and the son has some disabilities. So he helps take care of his mom.
I saw them on the website.
Definitely go to our website to get that story, because they're great. It's a good story. And, you know, they're all just so excited to be back up, you know, thinking about getting back on the ridge and helping to help rebuild their community. So excited to be working with that group of people.
One of the things I was just thinking is that if someone had never heard about Habitat for Humanity, just briefly, what you do is you build homes. How do you figure out who you're going to be able to build the homes for? What are some of those requirements and that kind of thing?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, that is true. I sort of forget that, Habitat is about building homes, community, and hope. And it's about really building affordable homes for people in our community. And we know there's a huge need right now for that. And we do have a criteria that we use when we're looking to build with folks. And the first one is income. So we're looking for folks that fall between area median income of 30 to 80%. So for a family of three, it's, you know, no more than $54,000 a year. So, but and it's folks that are working. They just have, you know, get to a place where they can't afford a conventional loan. And then we're also looking at you know, people who have a need. And right now we're focusing on folks who have been in disasters. So most of the folks that we're working with are campfire survivors. And then we're also looking for folks that can pay for a mortgage. I think there's a misnomer out there that we're giving these houses away for free. That's not the case. They are actually buying their house, but they're buying it for what they can afford. And what that means is they're paying no more than 30% of their income towards their house mortgage payments, as well as their impound account. So we've had no foreclosures because these houses are affordable. And the last thing that we just look at is people's ability to make those payments to us. So those are the criteria that we have that we look at. And we actually have a committee that goes through the orientation process and it meets the families, does a site visit, does interviews, does the background checks, the credit checks. You know, it's important to us that we have homeowners who will be good representatives of Habitat. And we want to make sure that it's going to be a successful relationship for over the long haul, because since they make those mortgage payments to us, we basically are the bank, then we have this relationship for 30, sometimes 40 years with people. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing, because they have some flexibility in their loan with us. We have one case right now because of the COVID that she's in forbearance. Because of the COVID, she's unemployed right now. So she has a little bit of time to figure out, you know, to be able to figure out her finances and get another job and come back into paying her mortgage payments. So that's the great thing about Habitat, is that we do work with the homeowners to make sure they're going to be successful. As I mentioned, we've had no foreclosures. And once people get into their home, I mean, I think initially when they're working on their homes, and the other criteria is that they have to do sweat equity hours with us. I didn't mention that one. So they have to build their house alongside with other volunteers, and we require 250 hours of sweat equity. So, and that's a pretty substantial amount for families. So if it's a family, it's a mom and dad and a child, then that's 500 hours. And so, you know, and for single moms, you know, that's parents, it's 250 hours. So it's not an easy feat for people. So during that time when they're building with us, they're deeply involved with us and meeting all kinds of volunteers when people come out to help them. During that time, I think a lot of times they think, is this really going to happen for me? And it's not really until they get their keys do they realize that this truly is, you know, is possible for them.
Yes.
And just the sense of peace, really, when it comes down to it, just the peace and the security of knowing that they're going to be able to afford to get send their kids to college, be able to get a new car, be able to, you know, invest in their futures with, you know, in their retirement funds, those kinds of things. You know, we just, you know, some people we just don't even think about that. And so when you're being able to plan for your future, just that sense of ease and comfort and being able to have more possibilities is just huge for families.
Do people find you and they fill out an application, and is that how people go about it?
They do. Yeah. If you go to our website, actually, the one thing that we're doing right now, too, is, you know, historically, we have just been taking applications like once a year because we were just building two houses a year.
Yeah.
But we're going to be gearing up to 6, 8, and 10 houses. I think we're going to have more of a regular orientation process and application process. And so we're going to probably do it every 3 or 4 months. So we're going to be going through the process probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks of starting that process again. So families who are interested can go to our website, they can check it out, and they can also give us a call regularly to check in with us so that they can see when they might be able to apply. You go through an orientation process with us and then fill out an extensive application and, you know, give us different kinds of financial information. And there is a, you know, probably a 2 or 3 month process that takes to go through with people. And then the houses are, you know, probably takes us between 8 and 9 months to get the houses built. We're working on kind of shoring it up a little bit more so it can be shorter time periods. But just because we use volunteers as well as skilled volunteers as well as actual paid labor, the things like the plumbing, the electrical, the foundations, the roofing, those we do pay for those things. Because we want to make sure they're done correctly. But there's a ton of stuff that the volunteers can do. Probably 70% of the houses are built by volunteers. But because of the COVID time, we actually have not really advertised that much volunteering so that we could be safe. But we're getting ready to start rolling that out again to have more volunteers on the site. So, and we know there's a huge community that wants to come and volunteer with us. And people from, you know, out of state that want to come in, you know, especially after the campfire, people are like, what can we do? What can we do to help? And that's really when we were ready, all of a sudden COVID came and we're like, you know, no one wanted to travel. So, which is understandable.
Yeah.
And the other thing, if you have large groups that come here, the other challenge is where are you going to house them? You know, there was enough housing for people to, you know, different churches or up in Paradise or even hotels. Now, you know, it's definitely a more of a challenge for us now.
Yeah. Do volunteers in the international organization find places that they come? Is it a way that people travel and volunteer?
Yeah, you know, there's probably not internationally, but nationally, there's a great group called the Caravanners. And they're a group of Habitat, usually retired folks, that go around the country in their RVs and volunteer at different Habitat sites. Actually just had them a couple months ago, and they've been with us 3 times now. And they're great. They're skilled volunteers. They come for 2 or 3 weeks. They you know, this last time they were helping us frame up the walls, and they actually helped us clear some of the lots up in Paradise with us. So they're a great group of people, and they always bring all kinds of stories because they've been to other affiliates in the United States.
Yeah.
And they bring their house with them. Exactly.
That's a great thing. Yeah. They hired people that they get to travel around. They get to volunteer and add to the world. That's neat.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Nicole Bateman, and she is the executive director from buttehabitat.org. You're listening to 90.1 FM. It's North State Give and Take, and I'm Bobby Tryon. We'll take a little breather here and come back in just a bit. Back to our interview with Nicole Bateman. our interview on Habitat for Humanity. You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM.
Actually, when you're building a house, how many volunteers do you need? I mean, I'm sure they don't work every day and there's different shifts or whatever.
Yeah. You know, we probably have, you know, probably like, we probably have 20 people on a site a day. And right now, we actually have this great relationship with the Christian Public Service guys, and they are a Mennonite group that after the campfire, they actually moved to Paradise and bought a house up there, and they have a rotating group that goes through. So they have a crew leader and his family, and then they have different young men that come through and stay there for 6 months as part of their service.
Yes.
So there's that. They're called the CPS men that come through that. But then we also are using a group called All Hands and Hearts, and they also come after disasters. And they're currently staying up at a church up in Paradise, and they also have a rotation thing that goes on with them as well. And we were really lucky to be able to hire one of their crew leaders from All Hands and Hearts to help us on our site with volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we were, you know, we've formed some great partnerships with people from out of the area, but also, you know, people locally. At the Chico State, we actually, this past summer, we had two interns, one from the Concrete Association side of it and one from the construction management side. And so Chico State has actually been a great contributor for volunteers. And then we have different groups in town that come out regularly. But it's been a year and a half since we've had any kind of those kinds of volunteers, but we're going to get gearing back up again. Yeah. But each house is about 2,000 hours of volunteer time that goes into building a house.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is, yeah. And then, of course, the person that's going to get the house, they put in their hours too. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing that just reminded me about that is that, you know, usually the families themselves have a whole network of people, whether it's their church, it's where they're working at, it's their family, whoever those folks are, that want to come in to help as well. And we do, one third of their hours can be provided by friends and family. So that actually helps them a little bit with that too. And the current families that we have, one works at Butte College, and she works in a department that helps students that have food insecurity or have homeless issues. So she has a group of folks that want to come out and help. And then the other one works at the Boys and Girls Club. And she actually, that'll be a great partnership when they come out. She actually was, you know, as I mentioned, a campfire survivor. And I think she had worked at a restaurant up in Paradise and lost her job. And then she was going through the case management services, and Boys and Girls Club saw her potential and said, "Do you want to become a case manager?" So now she's working there full-time at the Boys and Girls Club. And they are just clamming to get out to the construction site, that group, because they're used to volunteering and being involved in the community. So looking forward to them coming out. The need is so great. And you know, we just know that our mission of building homes in affordable homes is more relevant than it's ever been. And so we feel a huge responsibility, and the board, you know, we knew shortly afterwards that we were going to have to play a bigger role than we had been playing. I'm very thankful that the board is basically on board with this growth and encourages it. We are doing it in a way that is sustainable. We actually got a grant through the North Valley Community Foundation, Butte Strong Fund, to actually build up our capacity. So we are currently, we actually just hired for a full-time volunteer position and a full-time home ownership position. When I first started, there were 2.5 of us in the office doing everything. And now I have, you know, like 8 staff. It's still as much work as it was before, but it's just more directing and having more of an impact, which is super exciting. And, you know, the other thing talking about the expansion is money through the North Valley Community Foundation is also purchasing lots in Paradise. Before the fire, you know, we honestly were running out of land and figuring out where we were going to go next. And so now that we, you know, with all the land in Paradise and the lots up there, we're being able to purchase some lots with this funding. And we've also gotten lots donated or at reduced prices from different homeowners. So people just want to have some kind of impact with their land because they're moving on. Mm-hmm. They don't want to come back, but they want to know that their lot is going to make another family happy, and being able to live in the community that they had to leave. We currently have 17 lots right now in Paradise, and our goal in the next couple of years is to have 30.
What a wonderful thing for a family. It's not a gift. They have to do so much and learn so much, and they get that credit rating or whatever that is in the world that lets you actually then kind of do the things you need to do. And if you can't even get into a place and to get that credit rating going, so it's just a wonderful thing for someone's life to help them,
It's life-changing. It really is. And it's just literally just a hand up. Yeah. I mean, and once you do that, they're going.
Yeah,
but it's just giving that little oomph to get to that next place.
Yeah,
and we know that the only way that people can gain wealth is by owning a home.
Yes,
you know, when we're looking at, you know, how to increase, you know, levels of poverty and giving people the extra thing, home ownership is really one of the big answers.
It sure is. You know, I see a few of the houses. I'm down here by 20th, and so I've gone by a couple of them. And, you know, everyone that I know is a Habitat house. I know a few of them. They're kept so well. I mean, you do a great job, I think, of choosing people because they look, you know, just like lovely homes that somebody cares about.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the Restore, that is such a wonderful place. I actually love going in there when I don't even need anything. It's on Myers, which is off of Park. There are so many things there that you can, if you need something, rather than go to Lowe's and buy it new, you can very often get it there. I'm amazed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That is the thing. The inventory changes every day.
Yes.
So that's why you never know what treasure you're going to find that day.
I know.
You know, there's all kinds of things. And especially, you know, for people who own properties that maybe have some turnover, that they can go in there and get doors or handles or, you know, plumbing stuff. And so things that won't cost them as much as if they go to the big box store. So
do people just bring the stuff to you guys? Do you pick some of it up? How does that work?
We designed our drop-off station, but now you go clear around. So we do have a drop-off. And we do, for larger items, we'll come and pick them up. We are just getting back up and doing that again, you know, after, you know, just going through this COVID time. We don't do any pickups, but we will do pickups now. But for larger items, you know, we certainly encourage people, if they can, to drop the stuff off.
And all the money that is raised there goes towards building homes.
It does. It helps us to support our operations so that we can build more housing. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great adjunct to our model, is to have this little social enterprise business that can help. And plus, you know, the other part of that is that. You were helping to do recycling. I mean, people are recycling stuff and reusing stuff and keeping stuff out of landfill, which is kind of the second mission of the Restore, is to save, you know, stuff from the landfill. So,
well, you know, Chico is so lucky to have a Habitat. I mean, not all communities have one. And just with the support that we have in our community and the grants that you're able to get, I mean, it certainly is a healthy Habitat for Humanity chapter, I guess you'd call it. Yeah,
it is. It we are so grateful for the support of the community. We have great volunteers and great donors, and you know, like I said, I have a great, you know, board members that are all volunteers, and, you know, great Restore staff. So we're at a point in time where, you know, things are aligning, and we are on this growth spurt, and the need is great, and we're rising to the occasion right now for that.
Nicole, thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad. This is great. The fun time with you. Thank you.
I know, it is kind of fun. And I like putting it out there. I like people to be reminded. I know they know Habitat for Humanity, but it's nice to remind people, you know, you're out there and that you're working on things, and, you know, just to donate. I mean, I know, donate to the Restore, do some volunteer. I'm sure you can donate financially online.
Yep, you can. And we've actually just started a new Hammer Club, which is a sustainable donation for every month.
Okay.
For, you know, $10, $15, $25, whatever it might be. All that certainly helps us a great deal. I mean, we just know we have, you know, we just have a huge need. And the more that we can raise, the more housing that we can build.
And again, anyone that's interested in applying, you're going to be doing some more of those applications, did you say, in the next 2 weeks?
The next month to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And you can, if you also, if you go online, there's also a monthly newsletter that we send out. So sign up for that monthly newsletter so you can stay informed.
Okay. And is there a phone number if someone does not have a computer, which would be rare, but it happens?
Yeah. It's a 343-7423.
343-7423. Very good. So that opening in a month or 6 weeks or something, people think about that. Great. Again, thanks, Nicole. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you, Bobby. I appreciate it.
You've just heard a pre-recorded interview with Nicole Bateman from Habitat for Humanity. The website for Habitat for Humanity is buttehabitat.org. And the things that we've talked about today, you can find more information on that website. And this is North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon. I interview different nonprofits and people who are doing some things here in the North State. So if you'd like to be on the show or you have an idea of someone who it might be good for me to interview, give me a call at 530-520-1593. And if you'd like to hear any of my shows before now, you can go to KZFR, you can go to Programs, you can go to Tuesdays and go down to North State Give and Take, and they're all archived there, as is all the shows on KZFR. So thank you for listening to North State Give and Take. Come back next week at 6. Stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive. Thanks for being there, or thanks for being here.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. My name is Ginger Nichols, and you are listening to Radioactive. I'd like to let everyone know that North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years in the heart of downtown Chico at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923, and by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. How's it going, everybody? This is Radioactive. My name's Ginger. I'm glad to have you here. Anyways, so it's Tuesday, and it's the second day of the longest week of my life. I feel like it's been like 6 weeks since the week started, even though that's crazy because it's literally only Tuesday. But my feelings are valid. Thank you. So it's finals week. I almost coughed. That was going to be awkward. It's finals week, and I'm not, how do you say, normal? I am a normal person. I'm not feeling normal though, because finals week as a junior in high school, first semester, is a weird sensation. Because, okay, here's the thing. I had my first set of finals as a freshman, fall finals, whatever, and those were 2 years ago, basically at this exact same time, 2 years ago. And I knew that they meant nothing at the time, because it's a semester final of my first year of high school. They mean nothing. Sophomore year, we barely had a semester final because everything was all, you know, COVID and everything. And then the spring final was like, okay, this is hard, but like, I'm already at the home stretch, so even who cares? Like, I literally didn't care. I had no cares left to give by the end of the year. Because at the fall, you're still, you know, motivated and stuff, but by the spring, you're just absolutely not. And now I'm in my junior year, and apparently, according to everyone who wants to explain college to you, is like, oh my gosh, your junior year is like so important because you SAT, blah, 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 college applications, yada, yada, yada. And I am still in the point of the year where I have motivation left to try, but not enough knowledge to succeed. And so that's where I'm at right now. It's a balance. It is indeed a balance, and I have the perfect song to describe how I'm feeling. This next song is by the Bare Naked Ladies, and I'd like to let everyone know that this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. My name is Ginger Nichols, and here is Who Needs Sleep?